Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate that. I found a new button on my phone. It said, you know, you roll it up and there's a moon that shows up and you hit that and it says, do not disturb. Well, I've been hitting that, wondering why I wasn't getting no phone calls. Then the next day, pastor called me, another preacher overweight called me, somebody else called me. I better get that thing. I asked somebody, how do you get it off of that moon? They said, scroll up from the bottom and hit that blue button. I did. I'm back online again. Amen. I'll tell you what, these smartphones are smarter than me. Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. And it sure is good to be back on Sunday with y'all and have a big time trying to teach this class and just being a part of what's going on. So I enjoy it. I do. Feel like I got the easy part. I get started first, and then I can relax and let my nerves settle down, get over that panic attack. It comes and listen y'all sing and watch them kids give that money. I like that, and I'll get them part of that. I just enjoy church. Amen. Amen. And I learned a long time ago, you better enjoy church wherever you're at. You're always picking at it and scabbing at it and picking. Well, ain't no perfect church. Ain't no perfect people. Ain't no perfect preachers. Ain't no perfect singers. You going to teach or what? I'm going to tell you. Daniel chapter 8. I'm just glad to be here with all you imperfect people. I got an imperfect teacher doing some I'm doing some good teaching. Amen. I mean, the Bible, I don't know how I'm going to go wrong with that. Daniel chapter 8, we was reading about that vision that Daniel had, and we kind of read part of that chapter. We got clear on over to where the angel began to interpret what was going on. And that's good because there's a lot going on in Daniel chapter 8. And especially as we get on through the book, because once you get halfway through the book, there being 12 chapters, it takes on a little different perspective and a little different course. So we'll try to keep up with that and point that out. And in the way of teaching now, I think, I don't know what the date is today, 21st. That means 7 more days. Next Sunday is the 28th. Am I right on that? I will probably be gone next Sunday. I'll be gone through that day all the way through the month of June and sometime back in July. I say, where are you going? It's none of your business. No, just kidding. Just kidding. I'm sorry. I'm going down to the Holy Land. Going down into Tennessee, and I'm going to be down in there. Probably get over there. Might get over to Morristown. I don't know. I'll be there in Jellicoe for a while. I'll be in Sweetwater, Tennessee there, and that's where we're going to do a lot of damage over there. We're going to preach a meeting, we're going to draw some pictures, and we're going to stick around and work on the outside of their old building. We've been stuccoing that old building over the years, and so we're going to try to button that thing up for them this year. We've got a lot going on, and you pray for us as we go. We're going to try to be a witness just like we are wherever we go. We're going to try to be a teacher and a preacher, whatever God lets us do, and we don't mind making tents along the way. Daniel chapter 8, we were there, and he said in verse 15, it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. We said that one that stood before him was an angel. If anybody had any doubt what an angel looks like, the Bible is clear to let you know and inform you, especially the 1611 King James. I didn't run all the other ones down, but he tells you when you see an angel on this earth, you're actually thinking you're seeing a man. We knew that because the Bible says even the devil himself can be transformed into an angel of light, and he looked just like a preacher in a three-piece suit, amen? Probably carrying a King James Bible, so be careful. And Paul said, to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And so you got a Bible that you can discern. And one of the first things that folks have trouble with, discerning another spirit. Well, there's one spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, whereby all others to be judged by. and he'll bear witness to the word of God, whereby other spirits don't line up quite as well. Amen. So if you got somebody teaching false doctrine, believing the wrong stuff, and don't believe this book, and upset because you do, but they look like, act like, smell like just any other preacher, even claim to be a Bible-believing preacher, I'd say, watch out. The devil himself can be transformed into angel like, look just like anybody else. So here it said he showed up, this angel showed up, and the appearance of a man. If you thought, he was a knight in shining armor and had wings and all that other stuff, you've been looking at too many Catholic pictures because they drew them with angels. See, how do you draw them? With wings, because most people don't know. But I try to make it clear that it's not right. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulia, which called and said, Gabriel. So we get a name with the man. Gabriel appears as a man. When he shows up, Gabriel, the archangel, could appear probably different ways. But here, when he shows up on the earth, he appears as a man and as some kind of a captain or some kind of a leader of the host. And he says, I see three, one, two, three. Back there. They're working on me, so I'll let them work. He says, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So we know the man that showed up, the angel that showed up, looked like a man, and his name was Gabriel. So if somebody says, that's Gabriel, the archangel over there. So he looks like a man. So he came near where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall the vision be. He said, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to try to give you some understanding here about this vision you saw. And I'm not talking about the vision so much this morning because we talked about it last week. I want to talk about what the angel says to him in his interpretation to what he saw. And let me say this, even after the angel interpreted it to him, he still had trouble processing that thing. And we know that because of the last verse. And I, Daniel, fainted, was sick certain days afterwards. I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. So even with the help of this angel, I don't want to run off too far from my notes here. I got 4 or 5 pages of notes. We're looking at the fact that it's being interpreted all the way down through verse 16, 17. Verse 18, let me read a few more of these verses. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. You get around these angels, this angel, especially Gabriel, I got a sense that he's probably got the power of God on him. And he's a heavenly creature. He's not from the earth. He's not earthly. So he shows up, and obviously he's interested in the things that are heavenly, which affect the things that are earthly. And there's always that connection between God, the host, and what's going on down here. We learn that from this. And we know that there's a historical setting here. This actually happened, and we're going through it, and we learn a lot about the actual happenings. But then there's that devotional side of things that kind of overwhelms us because we're the child of God, and we see that if God was interested in the cogitations that troubled Daniel's heart and mind and all that he was going through as a captive in this Gentile kingdom, then God is surely interested in you and I devotionally, because he tells us we're just pilgrims and strangers passing through. And sometimes we don't quite act like Daniel act. We act more like settlers. We're here to stay. I'm not here to stay. I'm just passing through. Amen. And the songwriters got that. Those people got that. They wrote about it. We sing about it. And when you boil it all down, so what if the IRS writes you that crazy letter that's registered? I'm just passing through. So what if you get sick and the doctors can't fix you? You're just passing through. So what if you got old and can't do the things that you used to do, like me and some of you? We're just passing through. The things that are heavenly are more important than the things that are temporal. And this life don't last over about 70, 80, 90 years. Some folks squeak out 100. You read about some folks getting up to 104, 105, 115, but they ain't running no marathon. Say, what are you saying? We're just passing through. I learned that devotionally about this. It's all good in the end for the child of God. Now, if you're not saved, it don't look so good. There'll be more on that in the latter service. Amen. So here, devotionally, we see it. But then prophetically, how does this thing fit? And that's the other reach as we look through the lens of the Word of God and look to the future of things happening. Don't you ever doubt for a minute that God in heaven and the host of heaven isn't concerned with the things going on this earth over there in the Middle East and the fact that Trump's over there visiting them Saudi Arabians. And I don't know, they're good allies and all like that, and you can say what you want to say, but when they said they give them all that money to fortify all them arms and all that other stuff, I don't know, them Muslim people, I just kind of bristled all up down the back thinking that one of these days, that's going to be one of the players in the Middle East against the nation of Israel. Amen. And they care and they know, and I'm talking about heaven. And I don't have no angel interpreting that to me. I just got the Bible here. But he said the angel, so prophetically, heaven cares, is what I'm saying. And then he says, he said, behold, I will make thee know, verse 19, what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed, the end shall be. And remember, I said, be careful when you read about the end in the scripture, because when the phrase the end shows up, it has to be defined by the context that it's found in. If you're reading about Hezekiah, and it says, and the end of his days was now, you know he's talking about when he died. But the end of his time was at the appointed season. You know that that context defined that end time that they were talking about, that might be the end of harvest. You follow? That's how the English language works. We're going to find two end times here, and to keep from getting them confused, we have to allow the scriptures in its context to interpret which end time it's talking about. One end time is the end of the Gentile powers historically. And the other end time is end time that is appointed to the end of the days, the last days at the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see if you got the two confused or thought they were the same thing, you would be lifting this context and trying to put it in that context and this, and you'd be so, and that's what happens in Bible study. People won't take the time, or they do not understand the English language enough to even get a eighth grade level of understanding of the Word of God. And you say, how do you know this? 40 years of teaching the Bible. Brother Grigsby said, you want a lesson on the English language? Study the 1611. It was the English language in its best form at the time. So we have two interpretations of the end time. And he says here, he wants to explain to him about the appointed. At the time appointed, the end shall be. There are two ends here in our text in view here. One, historically, which fits the time of David's day, the historical interpretation, the end of the third or Grecian empire of Alexandria, out of one of the divisions of which the little horn of verse 9, who historically was Antiochus, something like that, he arose. Then secondly, prophetically. So you have a historical end time and a prophetical end time, and we're looking at it historically, devotionally, so we get something. And prophetically, what's to come? Prophetically, the end of the times of the Gentile. Take your Bible and look at Luke chapter 21, verse 24. 21, 24. New Testament, 21, 24 in the book of Luke. And he says here, now, when you pick it up in Luke, it's A.D. 33. It's not B.C. 533. Before Christ, you might say. Now we're at A.D. 33, but we have to deal with this end time thing. Verse 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And that times of the Gentile be fulfilled is an end time which is referenced in the book of Daniel chapter 9 of the end time, but it's not the end time of the historical setting because that history's done past and the Lord's still talking about it here. So it's to come. It has to be about the time when the second advent or the Lord comes back or when Israel gets through the tribulation. That's the prophetical second end time. Now, come on back, Daniel. And he says in Luke 21:24, you might check with me Revelation 16, 14, while you're there. So we get these two thoughts down. Did I say 16? Yeah, 14. For they are the spirits of devils. I mean, this might not be right here. Work and miracles go forth unto the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them. Here it is. To the battle of the great day of God Almighty. You say, what is it? That's a reference to the end time of the coming of the Lord in the final battle, which Daniel talks about the end time historically and the battles that'll take place. And if you please, the abomination of desolation. Everybody, when you say that, they say, oh, that's tribulation. No, this also happened under one of these guys historically to foreshadow and picture what was going to be again in the end times. So you got to keep them two separated. You got to look historically at it, and then you got to look, well, I always want you to look devotionally. How does any of this affect me? Then I want you to look prophetically at it at the final end meaning. Then somebody's going to say, well, there's another meaning past that. No, I can't see that far. I only see as far as this book will let me. Amen. So hopefully you're grabbing a hold of that. So Revelation talks about that final battle. We're going to talk about some fighting and stuff going on here too. Okay. Verse 19. Let's see. Revelation 14, 16, 4. We got that. And that's during when the little horn of Daniel 7. And remember, I told you about the horns. Same thing. You got the historical setting and the horn talked about there and who it actually was. But the horn represents something prophetically that's going to happen yet to come. So you got that going on when you especially study prophecy. And everything's like that in context in the Word of God. You got to be careful. Remember when we got down there, we leafed through the Bible, put our finger down and it says, "You keep, wait a minute. If you just done it like that, I'd tell them where you would be. You know, look, so they took the Bible away because they didn't want me to do that no more. You flip that thing open like that and put your finger down, boing, and you look at this and say, Book of Acts, and they gave all that they had to the church. I don't think you're going to do that today. Say what? Well, that's not to me. Isn't it funny how people get that? I mean, they just got that. Say, well, I know they sold all that they have and they gave all to the church and everybody lived happily ever after. No, they were persecuted and went everywhere preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what happened over there. So if you're going to rightly divide the Word of God and understand the way the Scriptures are put together, you have to have at least a eighth grade English grip on the English language. Say, well, how'd you get there? Barely. Kicking and clawing and struggling all the way. But now, 40 years later, you should have learned something, amen? So that's what I try to bring to the table as we look at this. So I've got a good idea of what's going on. Let's go back to the text. We've talked about, you're going to see it with the end time. Thank you, brother. You are a saint in shining armor. I don't know that you're Gabriel, but you're a man, amen? Amen. What did you put in this? Man, that's good. Messing with him. All right. So we're looking here, and we said it's going to be the same, but the end times, two end times, one for Daniel historical, one prophetically for the end of the time. You're going to see it with the toes. You're going to see it with the horns. There's a little horn talked about there. Two horns, one horn will deal with it. Then there's one coming. Little horn, which we focus on, which we know as the Antichrist. So if you get too confused, you'll think that the Antichrist has come and gone because historically it already happened. You say, does anybody believe that? Yeah, a lot of people believe that. When you get into amillennialism and postmillennialism, and not post so much, but awe, but post and awe, and some of the other folks that do not make a division in the scriptures to try to understand, they'll have it all run together. They'll tell you that we're living in the kingdom now and we're not living in the tribulation. We're in the tribulation now. They'll have you so confused you won't know what yuns up. But they can't answer the questions why the Antichrist has not been formed yet, why there's been no League of Nations have signed with Israel for 7.5 years of peace. They don't have any answers for any of that other stuff that obviously come up. So if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you can say anything you want to, but it's got to line up with the scriptures all the way through. That's why I lean to a study to show thyself approved. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. There's some study involved. And just anybody you pick on, they may quote a verse out of context. They have no idea what they're saying. And one of the ones that I like, he says, yeah, at the at the summit of the nations that we have every year, you know, they got a big verse they quoted, and we're going to beat our swords and stuff into plowshares. Another place that are going to beat the plowshares into swords, but they always get the one that brings peace. It ain't going to work. I'm sorry. You can lift it out of context and say it's going to work. That verse don't fit here for this time. It fits for the millennial reign of Christ. But they don't have the foggiest idea what they're quoting. It just fit their need. You follow what I'm saying? That's not how you handle the word of God. And so we're not going to try to handle it that way this morning. Paul said this, not handling the word of God with craftiness. You can make say anything you want to, but if you let it define its own terms, understand a little about the English language. God's got quite a book here in front of us. Amen. So you're going to see it with the end times. You're going to see it with the Gentile powers. You're going to see it with the horns, the beast that rise up out of Daniel at the final time and of the end. Daniel, we're not there yet. We won't be there. But Daniel chapter 12, when you finally get over to that thing, verse 4, what it says. But thou, old Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So that end time thing shows up even by chapter 12. And the time of the end, the Bible says in Daniel, the expression or its equivalent in the end occurs in Daniel 8, 17 through 19, where we're at in chapter 9, verse 26, chapter 11, verse 35, verse 40, verse 45, chapter 12, verse 4, verse 6, verse 9, and so on. And the time of the end in Daniel begins with the violation by the prince that shall come, the little horn, the man of sin, the beast, if you please, of his covenant with the Jews for the restoration of the temple and sacrifice. Well, good morning, sir. How are you today? What's going on? It would have been better if you waited after the service, but thank you. Kind of scared me there, showing up all in black like that. I thought you was the angel Gabriel. Now, I knew who the water bearer was, but he come up with a bomb-looking thing. Ain't we having the time? Can you tell I've had 2 cups of coffee? And 2 pieces of cold pizza. I'm liable to see my own visions in just a minute. Amen. But a little on that. Brother, and it's fine. He probably didn't know when he's come on up, sit down. But I notice when Pastor Tom is preaching, if you notice this, let me just stop right here. There's people getting up, wandering around, coming up here on the platform and doing this and doing that. What are you thinking? Huh? Where's the Spirit of the Lord? Where's the honor for the house of God? Where's the reverence for the preached word of God? Where is the humility or the humble spirit that wants to see somebody get saved, nobody offended, unless God's doing the offending? You follow me? So this is church. Act like it's church. You see somebody, you know me, I'm a gabbert. Brother Tom hopes I don't do the gabbert thing. And that stopped the guy coming up here and said, hey, what are you doing waltzing around while the pastor's trying to have an invitation? You got Brother Jerry up here trying to lead a song. The piano player trying to lead the... You follow what I'm saying? Now you're getting a lesson in biblical ethics. You got it? You just don't get up and waltz around and act like you have a problem. Oh, I know you got an issue. Give the Lord a little respect. Give the house of God a little respect. Amen. Give the word of God a little respect. Thank you for the hand, for a little respect. Well, have amens all over the house. You are not as important as the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God. And let me say this carefully, our pastor, the man of God. Amen. So don't be waltzing around somebody's preaching, teaching, leading the singing. Singers get up to sing. What happens? Everybody gets up, marches out, run around. Wait, if they're trying to sing a praise, you got me going. Watch out for the two ends. Watch out for this. Watch out for that. Watch out for this. The vision's interpreted here by the angel of the Lord. And I don't know where that went. I better find it. I've been blowing my nose in it. All that other stuff. And you know, we are a family, but it's good to respect God, that sort of thing. So here, watch if you would, verse 23, verse 22. Now that being broken, whereas for... stood up for it. Four kings, kingdoms shall stand up out of the nations. The angels tell him what's going to go on, but not in his power. And in the latter time of the kingdom, when the transgressions are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up. Now we understand that as the Antichrist, the Antichrist, the Antichrist. And that's right. That's prophetical meaning. Daniel had to deal with thing on a historical level where he was living today because it was affecting him today. And he was struggling with that. And he says here, now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nations, but not in his power. And the angel just declaring what he saw. He's affirming what he's seen. You know, you could get a message in your heart. You could get listen to a good lesson, get a good teaching, hear a good song or something like that. But if nobody confirms it and you're like scratching your head, man, this angel comes along and he confirms that thing. And Daniel says, okay, whatever you say, you know, I'm good. I'm good with it. But he said, I'm still a little sick at my stomach for what's going on. He still couldn't get it all, but it doesn't say anywhere he didn't believe it. He believed it. And that's what the Holy Spirit does here. He'll suit a blessing to you, and he'll confirm the word of God. He'll confirm it. Now, when he says here, latter time, verse 24, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. I want to read through the chapter, and I think I will, then I'll make a comment, and we'll quit. He says, and through his policies also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, that's the Lord, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told is true. Therefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. That sounds like Daniel chapter 12. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterwards, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, and none understood it. Say, what's going on? The angel confirmed what he saw, rehashed everything, told him how it was going to work, and it had to work historically fitting that time. And as soon as we turn the page of the next couple chapters, he's going to be talking about things that are 200 years in the future. He's living through this present problem and issue. And so he was struggling with, how's this going to apply? And the angel says, after many days, shut it up, close it up. At the end time, somebody's going to open it up and begin to expound it, and they're going to be able to look back at everything that you went through, lay that thing out, explain why you went through it, and then they're going to actually get something out of it for their heart and their soul, make them a better Christian. And then they're going to be able to stand up with the words of God and with it, what John says in the book of Revelations and Ezekiel says in his prophecy and Jeremiah says, because he said they're going to be in captivity 70 years and he has some things to say. And some of the other prophets, Isaiah included, and somebody's going to be able to get up in the end day at the last time in the last hours and expound this so you can understand it. And that's where we're at today. Do we have it all? No, we don't have it all. I give you a verse last week. Take it home. Use it. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. God isn't going to let you know everything. He's not going to let you know everything about the historical setting of the thing and why it's recorded like it is. He's not going to let you know devotionally why you go through what you go through. And he's not going to let you know everything prophetically on things to come. You say, why? Because he's God and we ain't. And we just don't know everything. But there is this. If you should get a thorn in the flesh, my grace is sufficient for thee. If you should have a problem with the life that you're going through down here, God's grace is sufficient for thee. So we live in the day of grace. And he gives you grace day by day to live. He gives you grace for the imperative or the affliction that you might have to bear. And bless your heart, when it comes time to die, he'll give you dying grace to step over there with him, where you'll receive the actual mind of Christ and the thoughts of God on all these things that we talk about. Over there, no Indian chiefs, no doctors, no professors. Amen. Just children of God. Was a level playing field over there. And he said, we're going to bow and give him the praise and the glory. I don't think Daniel had any trouble with that. He probably struggled a little bit with why he was going through what. He's 80 years old right here, 80 years old. And he's lived in captivity almost 70 years. And these powers, and I didn't get to my notes this week, and I'm probably not going to get to them next week. But I want to lay that out in a clear enough fashion. You're into Daniel chapter 8. I've explained enough of this that you know now about the repetition and how God sets the things in order. You know about the wild beasts and the animals and the horns and what they represent, nations and kingdoms and so on and so forth. So you got enough information to a little studying on your own. And when we get back, we'll pick it up or go on to other things and do that. But this morning, it's definitely been a privilege to teach to you and talk to you, to be a part of the service, to be a part of the church, amen? I just want God to be pleased. I want him to bless us. I want to humble myself and praise him today in the midst of our service. I want to see somebody get saved, somebody encouraged. Maybe somebody under conviction. Amen? That's part of it too. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for time to spend here with thee. Thank you for your word, your wonderful word. Thank you for the book. Thank you for these fine folks to listen and lend their ear to a class that our Lord tells us of things to come and tries to help us every day and shows us a little about our history. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and good morning.